بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. الحمد لله، may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the beautiful lives and the lifestyles of those around Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, we were discussing those individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected and chosen from the whole mankind to serve his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and nurture him to a great extent. They were chosen by Allah. For example, Allah chose the womb of Amina radiallahu anha to contain and keep Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for that period of 9 months. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the chest of Halima Sa'diyah to suckle Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with milk. Allah chose Amina Baraka Ummu Ayman to nurture him and serve him and care for him and love him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah chose Fatima binti Asad radiallahu anha to take the place of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother when he had lost his mother. So these were women chosen by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was one individual who served Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on an occasion. She tried to serve him, but actually we would notice from the report who actually served who. But then she then describes Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a prolific manner, in a manner documented by scholars of hadith up till today, in a most amazing, eloquent way. So this individual is none other than Atika bint Khalid bin Munqidh radiallahu anha. And her appellation was Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha. Coming to this scenario and this incident, it was after 10 long years of effort and sacrifice from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum on humanity, protecting the iman, uplifting the deen, preserving the deen, practicing the deen, in spite of all odds being against them. It was during the Meccan period. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's efforts and Sahaba radiallahu anhu's efforts reached a great level when Allah's command then came after 13 years of effort. Allah's command then came to make hijrah to Medina Munawwara. It was the 13th year Hajj al-Hijjah that he had completed. Then Muharram started of the 14th year. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs Sahaba radiallahu anhum to depart from Makkah Mukarramah. And he indicates to Medina Munawwara. And this was Allah Ta'ala, what Allah Ta'ala had showed him. Sahaba radiallahu anhum then made hijrah in individuals and in groups and in multitudes and in groups of families. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, one after the other, are making hijrah in Allah's path, leaving everything for Allah Ta'ala's sake. Then came Rabi'ul Awwal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then given the instruction by Allah to make hijrah. What had happened was the Meccans had rallied and they had a plan to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before they could make the completion of their sinister plan. Allah Ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to leave your home, leave Ali radiallahu anhu in your place, go to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's home, and that's exactly what he did. And together they had departed. It was the end of Safar, the last 3 days. They stayed and remained in the cave, in seclusion, and in confinement. They hid in the cave, and after 3 days, at the beginning of Rabi'ul Awwal, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embarked on this journey, the famous journey of Hijrah. What a very important journey, because this journey actually denotes the history of Islam, and this becomes the foundation of our calendar, because our calendar is based on the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hijrah means a migration, and it comes from the word hajara, to depart, to leave something. So hijrah refers to the famous incident Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum left their lands, left their homes, left their families, left their loved ones, left their businesses, left their birthplaces for Allah's pleasure, for Allah's sake, for Allah's deen. And they went to Medina Munawwara. That was Hijrah. And Hijrah in Arabic also means to leave. So in the hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Muhajiru, the actual Muhajir, is man hajra ma nahallahu anhu, is the one who leaves and denounces what displeases Allah. What Allah Ta'ala doesn't want us to do, He leaves that. He takes that out of his life. So this is a beautiful practice that every one of us can get some reward of Hijrah. Yes, the ultimate is what Sahaba radiallahu anhum did, and the culmination of that took place on the occasion of Fath Makkah. So those Sahaba radiallahu anhum who made Hijrah are the Muhajireen, and they are very, very high ranking level of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Then you get another category of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Ansar. They were the Sahaba from Medina Munawwara that made Nusra, that served and helped and assisted and made khidmah of the Muhajireen. They assisted Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the service of deen, and they were ready to serve their brothers for the sake of Allah Ta'ala to such an extent that they gave everything. And they actually were happy about it, about what they did for Allah Ta'ala's sake. That's why even when studying the Qur'an Kareem, We will note those verses of Quran revealed during the Meccan period. It'll be, you know, noted on top of the Surah Makkiyah. And then those verses revealed during the Medinan period, the Medina Munawwara period, Al-Madaniyah. And we will be able to notice a difference in the topic of the Quran between those surahs revealed in Makkah Mukarramah and those surahs revealed in Medina Munawwara. If we take note of this, we would actually enjoy our tilawah of the Qur'an. This knowledge will enhance our understanding, because there's a difference in the meanings and the topics and the rhythm and the style of the surahs and the verses revealed in Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. But the culmination of the Meccan effort was this journey of the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really this journey was an amazing journey. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came across many amazing incidents and events. The famous incident is where they were searching for him and he was in the cave, and Allah Ta'ala protected him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah instructed the spider to weave its web. How Allah Ta'ala protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the minutest of his creation, showing that Allah Ta'ala's help, when Allah's help is with you, nobody can harm you. And if Allah's help is against you, even the strongest of armies and forces you might have, it will not avail you in the least. Allah could have protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a steel wall. But Allah is showing that Allah's qudra and power is wara'ul wara. And we have to bring Allah Ta'ala on our side, and then we are successful. They couldn't find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When they were on the journey, the famous incident is that of Burayda bin Husayb. He tried to capture Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him to Islam. He accepted the dawat, he was affected, and he performed Isha Salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, I'm going to my people. I'm going to give them dawat. If they come, I'll bring them. If they refuse to come, I will present myself and present my services to you. Then another famous incident is that of Suraqah bin Malik, who also tried to capture Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah caused his conveyance, his horse, to sink into the ground. Then another very interesting incident. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on this journey of Hijrah, he came across a certain road where it was taking him to two different routes. Yes, there were different routes. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taking the route away from the main road, nearer to the seashore, to actually conceal his journey from the Meccans and also to save trouble. But at a certain point, there was a certain person in that area who Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted with. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, which road do we take? And he in turn described the two routes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one road being like this and the other being like that. And in the description, that he gave of the one road, he said that there are two people on this road. They are very, very dangerous. They are highway robbers. And there could be others under them. And he went in elaborating the authority of these two highway robbers and people not passing there safely. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed that that's the route we will take because I want to meet them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit them. He invited them to Allah. He called them to deen. And when they were introducing themselves, they were appalled by their evil actions. And they were affected by his beautiful companionship and his beautiful character. They were so touched that they said that they wanted to change and embrace Islam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uplifted their esteem and their morale. When they said that we are really despicable people. نَحْنُ مُهَانَا قَوْمٌ. We are from a certain qawm, but we are the most despised. Allah's Nabi said, no. لَا بَلْ أَنْتُمَ الْمُكْرَمَانِ. You all are the noblest of people. You all are the most honored of all people. Meaning you have now seen the truth and you are following the truth, this will bring honor to you. And through this you have been really honored by Allah by embracing Islam. Meaning Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not despise them because of their past, but he worked on them and he encouraged them and he showed them the way to change. Allahu Akbar. This also took place in the journey of Hijrah. Now on this journey of Hijrah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches one area. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached Qudayd. Now Muhammad ibn Ishaq rahimahullah mentions the different areas he passed during this beautiful journey of Hijrah. Like Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went via a different exit of Makkah Mukarramah towards the direction of Yemen, which is totally opposite in the direction of Medina Munawwara. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out from an area called Usfan. Then he went via Amaj. Then he passed Qudayd. Then he treaded Kharar. Then he went via Thaniyatul Murrah. Then he treaded via Liqf. Then he crossed the valley of Mudlijatul Liqf. Then he went into the valley of Mudlijatul Mujah. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed an area called Marjah Muhaj. Then he went Marjah Dhil Ghudwain. Then he went into crossed the valley of Dhi Kishr. Then he passed an area called Judajid. Then they passed an area called Al-Ajrad. Then an area called Dhasilm. Then an area called Mudlijatu Ta'hin. Then an area called Al-Ababid. Then they crossed Al-Fajjah. Then they went down the valley Al-Arj. Then they passed the area, the mountain pass, Thaniyatul A'ir, next to the town or the vicinity Raquba. Then they went in, they crossed the valley Ri'm. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached Quba. So this was not the main road. This was a different route. But Allah's Fadl, after that, there is an establishment of a road known as Tariqul Hijrah. So the general route of the journey of Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara up to today is the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hijrah. And how much of khair in that. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that route and that route has been made the main road. Subhanahu, subhanallah. So when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached this area, Qudayd, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found that there's a woman, a gracious lady, a kind lady living there. She was kind and she was gracious and she was very helpful to the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum who had passed already. She had two tents and she actually had some sort of a kind of a tuck shop or like a store where she would sell goods and she was very helpful to the Muslims. When Sahaba radiallahu anhum were passing, whatever she had, she was serving them, giving them, even though not all of them had funds to give her, she helped, readily would help the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and see the barakah of khidmah, what that then brought upon her, upon Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anhum, so much of khair and barakat it brought. She comes from the Khuza'a tribe, Ummu Ma'bad al-Khuza'i, and also when we study history, we learn that the Khuza'a people, the Khuza'a tribe were very close to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because Ummu Ma'bad رضي الله عنها was affiliated to the Khuza'a tribe. Khuza'a were very close to Abdul Muttalib, Al-Khuza'a. So anybody who are from the Khuza'a tribe is known as Al-Khuza'i. So even this relationship between Abdul Muttalib and Khuza'a continued. And in turn they were very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They always showed allegiance to him. And they always showed support to him in every way, whether they were Muslim or non-Muslim. And that's why this relationship that the Khuza'a had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually became the cause of Fath Makkah. Because after the agreement of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, Khuza'a came into the agreement with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims. And Banu Bakr joined the Quraysh. And in that, Banu Bakr, with the support of Quraysh, with weapons from them and some of their personnel, attacked Khuza'a. And that meant attacking the Muslims. That's why when Khuza'a appointed Amr bin Salim, go to Medina Munawwara to seek the help of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he comes into Masjid al-Nabawi and he renders these words before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, complaining and explaining what Banu Bakr and Quraysh had done to them. يا رب إني ناشد محمدا خلف أبينا وأبيه الأتلدا. He comes into the masjid. He says, oh Allah, I'm asking Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to help us here. He's sitting here and I'm reminding him of the long agreement, imploring Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the name of the inherited and the time honored alliance and allegiance that is between his father and our father. So what he was referring to, that covenant and that relationship between Abdul Muttalib and the forefathers of the Khuza'a. So in that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complied and he said that, O Amr bin Salim, even this cloud is smiling and hailing that I have to assist you. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then undertook this journey and went to help. And this became the means of Fath Makkah. Because through this attack against Khuza'a, Quraysh had then breached the agreement. So Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha is attributed to this tribe. She was a gracious individual. She would sit there in her tent and she would feed people and she would make some sales also. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached there, she wanted to assist them. And they wanted to buy from her, but she said, by Allah I have nothing. Leave selling to you. I would have loved to be hospitable towards you, but I have nothing to actually give. And historically proven, وَكَانَتْ سَنَةً شَهْبَىٰ. It was a year full of drought. There wasn't much, there wasn't food. And in this discussion with her, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum, and Ummu Ma'bad on the other side. Who were the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the journey of Hijrah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And the third individual was Amir bin Fuhaira, the freed slave of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was bringing the milk during the 3 days wherein they were concealed inside the cave. The fourth individual was the guide, Khirit. He was a professional in roots, so he was a guide, some kind of a garment, so to say. But he was a guide, he wasn't a Muslim, but he was loyal to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. His name was Abdullah bin Urayqit. Abdullah bin Urayqit. Anyway, the three of them with the guide on the one side. Anyway, the three of them were then discussing with Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha. And in that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw one goat that was very, very weak and feeble. He says, Ummu Ma'bad, I know you can't assist us and because you are going through difficulty yourself. Would you allow me to milk this goat or see what I can get from it? So she actually, in astonishment, said that this goat has nothing at all. It's so weak, it had to stay behind the entire flock. Meaning her husband had left with some other goats, but everything was weak because of the drought. But this one is the weakest. It couldn't even manage coming out of the kraal. So in that, she said, "Oh Muhammad," she said, "but I will allow you to try what you can." She didn't know that this is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what then happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought the permission of Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha. He asked her, does this goat have any milk? She answered that this goat is too weak. It has nothing. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, would you allow me to milk her? Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha responded that may my parents be sacrificed for you. If it had any milk, I would have definitely given you, but it doesn't have any. But you may try your best, meaning so to say, try your luck, but you're not going to find anything. She's feeling shy to repeatedly say no. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for the goat and he placed it down and he touched the udders taking Allah's name. The udders suddenly swelled and it flowed copiously with milk. He then called for a vessel, a big vessel, that was sufficient would be sufficient for everyone to drink. He filled that entire bucket. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha to drink. He then gave his companions, and the report says, he then drank last. ثُمَّ شَرِبَ آخِرَهُمْ. Then everyone drank until they were satisfied. He gave them to drink until they were filled. And there was a lot of barakah in the milk. Where is it coming from? Whose Mubarak hands? Through whom Allah Ta'ala is giving this Mubarak milk. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam filled the container again. This huge container, this bucket, for our understanding. حَتَّى مَلَأَ الْإِنَاءَ ثُمَّ غَادَرَهُ عِنْدَهَا. And then he left it by her. Then some reports suggest that they rested there for a while. Bata could also mean that, you know, qala, they rested a little bit in the afternoon there. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had departed from there, her husband Abu Ma'bad came. Abu Ma'bad. He came bringing a couple of goats that were weak and feeble. And he comes into the home and he finds this huge container filled with milk. فَلَمَّا رَأَ اللَّبَنَ عَجِبًا. And he said, where is this milk coming from? And this goat of ours is so weak, does not give milk. وَلَا حَلُوبَ فِي الْبَيْتِ. There's no other means of milk in the house. Where did you get this from? So she said, let me explain to you. لَا وَاللَّهِ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ مَرَّ بِنَا رَجُلٌ مُبَارَكٌ. A blessed man traveled by here. Let me tell you about him, O my husband. Min halihi kada wa kada. She explained and described Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. In such a beautiful manner. Allah give us tawfiq to learn. Let's take note that this sahabiyah sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this one occasion. And Allah inspires her. And she portrays his description in such an amazing manner. Allahu Akbar. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha describes that I saw this individual. Inni ra'itu rajulan. Zahir al-wada'a. His handsomeness was clear. He had such a beautiful face. Ablaj al-wajh. And with his external beauty, hasan al-khuluq, his character was impeccable. Now she described further. لَمْ تَعِبْهُ ثُجْلَ وَلَا تُزْرِيهِ صَعْلَ. He wasn't fat, he didn't have a bulging belly, nor was he bald. He was just perfect. His eyes were very, very dark. The edges of his eyelids were long, and the whites of his eyes were extremely white. He was wasimun. Wasim means beautiful, handsome. Qasim means the same. He was so handsome, and his beauty did not confine to some limbs and not the other. Qasim. His every limb, one was more beautiful than the other. Each one was in conformity to the other. His body and his every part of him was perfect. Fi aynihi daj. His eyes were black. The black part was black. The white part was white. Wa fi ashfarihi ataf. Wa fi sawtihi sahal. His eyebrows were arched and perfectly close in this report. Another report says there was a space between the eyebrows of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had very dark hair, glossy, and his hair had an incline. It had an inclination to curling. يعني في لحيته كثاثة. His beard was thick. أزلج أقرب. وفي صوته صهل. His voice had manhood, had awe in it. أجمل الناس. She says, I must concise it, that he was the most beautiful. وَأَبْهَاهُ مِنْ بَعِيدٍ. And he was the most awe-striking when seen from a distance. وَأَحْلَاهُ وَأَحْسَنُهُ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. And he was the sweetest and the most beautiful when noticed from near. حُلْوُ الْمَنْطِقِ. His utterances, his words were very, very entertaining, were very sweet. فَصْلٌ. And his words were clear and well-spaced. لَا نَزْرٌ. His words were not insignificant. وَلَا هَذْرٌ. Nor were his discussions trivial. What he was discussing with his companions, I noticed, was very, very beneficial. So she also noticed when Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was teaching Sahaba radiallahu anhum, meaning the period that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was there, she would have taken note of what was going on. So she says his words were not of idle talk or not, you know, blabbing or prattling, but he was discussing important matters, really, really beneficial to everyone. كَأَنَّ مَنْطِقَهُ خَرَزَاتٌ نُظِّمْنَةٌ. She says his words were like pearls falling from a tasbih or a necklace. رَبَعَ. He was perfectly moderate in his build, meaning big and perfectly big, not gigantic and inappropriate, but perfectly sized. لَا بَائِنٌ مِّنْ طُولٍ. He was tall, not gigantically tall. وَلَا تَقْتَحِمُهُ عَيْنٌ مِّنْ قِصَرٍ. Nor was he short and despised. Meaning, from all the branches of the tree, he was the freshest of all, the freshest of branches. Meaning, the most brightest of face and the most beautiful of appearance. فَهُوَ أَنْظَرُ الثَّلَاثَةِ مَنْظَرًا. So sitting with him were the three Muslims, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the two Sahaba with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Amir bin Fuhaira. So from the three, he was the most, you know, beautiful and the most fresh, anbar, the most fresh and the most illustrious and the most exuberant. Wa ahsanuhum qadra. And he had the best of status amongst them. And those around him would sit around him. If he said anything, meaning as he was teaching them, they would remain silent to his teachings. Ansatula. Wa in amar, when he would give an instruction, tabadaru ila amri. They would hasten to inculcate it. And they would be around him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the time, abiding by his teachings. She says he was mahfudun. Mahfudun means others would serve him, those around him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mahshudun, and they would always stick around by him. La abisun, never would he frown. Wala mu'tadin, nor did he transgress, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she explains how he asked for, you know, a vessel, and he filled it, and he fed others, and then he gave me, and after that he drank. And then she explained further and further. He was so astonished by this description and this explanation. He said, by Allah, this is the man Quraysh is looking for. And if only I was around, we have to follow him. And Allah Ta'ala's fadl, the both of them, the couple, after some time, they had undertaken the journey to Medina Munawwara, and they had embraced Islam, and they became great Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from there, there was a voice heard from the unseen. Meaning Allah Ta'ala sent the angel, or some jinn rendered these words, but the Sahaba in Makkah then got to know where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, meaning almost in Medina Munawwara. But these words went thus, جَزَلَّهُ رَبُّ النَّاسِ خَيْرَ جَزَائِهِ رَفِيقَيْنِ قَالَ خَيْمَتَيْ أُمِّ مَعْبَدِي وَمَا نَزَلَهَا بِالْهُدَى فَاهْتَدَتْ بِهِ فَقَدْ فَازَ مَنْ أَمْسَى رَفِيقَ مُحَمَّدِي فَيَا لِقُصَيٍّ مَا زَوَى اللَّهُ عَنْكُمُ بِهِ مِنْ فِعَالٍ لَا تُجَازَى وَسُؤْدُدِي لِيَهْنِ بَنِي كَعْبٍ مَقَامُ فَتَاتِهِمْ وَمَقْعَدُهَا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَرْصَدِي سَلُوا أُخْتَكُمْ عَنْ شَاتِهَا وَإِنَائِهَا فَإِنَّكُمُ إِنْ تَسْأَلُوا الشَّاتَ تَشْهَدِي دَعَاهَا بِشَاتٍ حَائِلٍ فَتَحَلَّبَتْ له بصريح ضرة الشاة مزبدي فغادرها رهنا لديها بحالب يرددها في مصدر ثم موردي. His words render such that may Allah reward in abundance, may Allah reward with the best of rewards. the two companions, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who rested at the tent by the home of Ummu Ma'bad. They went there and they went with Hidayah, and she received Hidayah from them. فَاهْتَدَتْ بِهِ فَقَدْ فَازَ مَنْ أَمْسَى رَفِيقَ مُحَمَّدِي. Success is the lot of the one who becomes his Sahabi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Sahabi. Then these words address Quraysh and the Meccans. فَيَا آلَ قُصَيٍ مَا زَوَى اللَّهُ عَنْكُمُ. O Qusay, O Quraysh, O the people of Makkah, how unfortunate are you? What have you done that Allah has deprived you? مِنْ فِعَالٍ. What actions have you perpetrated? لَا تُجَازَ. That are evil, that are not rewarded with good in Allah's sight and in Allah's court. Why has Allah deprived you of such a great blessing? What is the blessing here being referred to? Meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was your neighbor. He lived amongst you. What have you done that you have been deprived of this honor of having Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reside in your community, in your society? Now he leaves to another people. He leaves to another people. Allahu Akbar, we learn from here that Allah took away Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah Mukarramah. And Allah gave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Madinah Munawwara. Allah give us tawfiq, we learn from here that when we are ungrateful to a blessing, it is taken away. When we are ungrateful to a gift, it is taken away. We have to be appreciative. Always to ask Allah. Allahumma ja'alna shakirina li ni'matik. Qabiliha musneena biha wa atimmaha alayna. O Allah, make us of those who appreciate your favors. Those who are worthy of your favors. And those who will thank you abundantly and immensely and profusely for your favors. The report says that, O Allah, then complete your favors upon us. In another hadith, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. Allah, we seek your protection from your favors being taken away from us. Wa tahawwuli afiyatik. From the ease that you have granted us. From this being transformed into harshness and difficulty. Wa fuja'ati niqmatik. And save us, Allah, from perpetrating such guna that your anger and wrath befall us all of a sudden. So we learn from here to appreciate. This poem then goes, لِيَهْنِ بَنِي كَعْبٍ مَقَامُ فَتَاتِهِمْ. How fortunate are the Banu Ka'b. Because a woman from their tribe was sitting and serving the believers. سَلُوا أُخْتَكُمْ عَنْ شَاتِهَا وَإِنَا. So we learn service. When you serve the believers, there's barakat in that. There's greatness in that. There's Allah's help with that. Ask your sister, the Meccans are being told. Ask your sister, meaning someone from your tribe. She's from the Khuza'a. Ask her about her goat and her container. If you don't want to ask her, فَإِنَّكُمُ إِن تَسْأَلُ الشَّاتَ تَشْهَدِي. Even if you ask that shat, that goat, the goat itself bears testimony to the barakat in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He called for this goat that was weak and feeble and could not give any milk. And that same goat that could not give milk, or was immature to give milk, or was too weak and feeble to give milk, that same goat gave milk full of foam and beautiful fresh milk. And then he left that container by her. فَغَادَرَهَا رَهْنًا لَدَيْهَا بِحَالِبٍ يُرَدِّدُهَا فِي مَصْدَرٍ ثُمَّ مَوْرِدِي. He left it with her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left it with her, and morning and evening she would milk that goat, and that goat would give so much of milk. It's mentioned in reports of history that the goat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam milked, Allahu Akbar, gave so much of milk, every day would give Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha's family with milk. It would give them milk morning and evening. Sabuh and ghabuq. Morning and evening would they receive milk. Kunna nahlubuha sabuhan wa ghabuqa. Wama fil ardi qaleelun wala kathir. Even at times there was nothing. Nothing around. There was no food. But there was this milk. And reports suggest that this goat would give them milk for so many years after. And then they were asked, what about Amur Ramada? Because Amur Ramada took place in the 18th year after Hijrah. This is the first year. This is the beginning. This is where Hijrah takes place, where the calendar is calculated from. So Amur Ramada is the year where everything became grey out of dryness. There was no food. All the animals had died. So what about that year? Did this goat give you all milk as well? which is the 18th year, 18 years later, she says that year also, the goat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the goat he milked and touched, still gave us the full amount of milk. Allahu Akbar. What barakat, what barakat. So notify when she says, marra bina rajulun mubarak, the blessed man passed by us. Again, we learn again about this word, barakah. How will we bring barakat in our lives? Bring alive the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See one beautiful sunnah on this occasion. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fed others, and afterwards he drank. Afterwards he partook. We learn the value of khidmah. We learn how important khidmah is. Allah loves khidmah. And khidmah will enhance our character. Khidmah will enhance our akhlaq. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, akhlaq is the weightiest of deeds on the day of judgment. May Allah give us tawfiq to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beautiful akhlaq. This akhlaq of serving others, giving others. Him being the greatest of Allah's creation, but served humanity. Allahu Akbar. What akhlaq. And service improves akhlaq. So we have to serve others, Allah will give us better character. And we learn this from Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there's no deed weightier on the scales of deeds on the day of judgment than good character. مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلْ فِي مِيزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who will leave lies, even though he may be joking, Allah will give him a beautiful place in paradise. That person who leaves the argument even though he is right, Allahu Akbar, leave the argument even though he is right, he left it for Allah's sake, Allah will give him a beautiful place in paradise. And that one who perfects his character and works on improving his akhlaq, Allah will give him the highest place in Jannah. بُنِيَ لَهُ فِي أَعْلَاهَا In the loftiest stage in Jannah and positions in Jannah, Allah Ta'ala will give this individual. So we learn this from the husband, from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaching his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And let's learn this from the husband of Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha, Abu Ma'bad. His name was Aktham bin Abil Jawn, or Aktham bin Al Jawn radiallahu anhu. And there's beautiful couple of beautiful incidents about him. One is, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, Ya Aktham, I saw Amr bin Luhay. Amr bin Luhay was that disbeliever who brought alive worship of idols. I saw him dragging his entrails in Jahannam. And in one report, he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that how did he look and so forth. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a description of this individual, meaning his face, facial appearance was same like Aktham. So he asked, O Nabi of Allah, does it harm me? Will it harm me that my face looks like his? Obviously the Sahabi doesn't want his face to look like Amr bin Luhay. He wants his face to look like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously. That's why Sahaba radiallahu anhum would strive to follow every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi said that if Allah gave you a certain facial appearance and it is similar to that of a person denied Allah and so forth, this is not in your hands. You appreciate what Allah Ta'ala gave you. You are a mu'min, he is a kafir. So definitely you will not be resurrected with him, because this was not something of your choice. You appreciate what Allah Ta'ala gave you, and that is what will enhance you. And another amazing report. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Aktham radiallahu anhu, Ya Aktham bin Al-Jawn, Ughzu ma'a ghayri qawmik. O Aktham. One report says, go out with your people in Allah's way, ma'a qawmik. In the report of isti'ab, go out in Allah's way with your people. And when you go and you travel, Allah Ta'ala through that will improve your character and you will become better. In another report, O Aktham, ughzu ma'a ghayri qawmik. Go out in Allah's way with different people. Don't choose who you must go with. If this person is weighing, I will go in Allah's path with that person. No, mix. Go with different people, of different colors, of different nationalities, of different backgrounds, and go together with muhabba and love and treat each other kindly. Like that, your akhlaq and character will be enhanced. يَحْسُنْ خُلُقُكْ Your akhlaq will be enhanced. وَتَكْرُمْ عَلَى رُفَقَائِكْ And Allah will give you, Allah will make you better. And like that you will be able to honor your companions. So what we learn from here, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us an anecdote for us to teach us how to improve our character. Here when you go, we go with different people, we will learn tolerance. Every person's thinking is different. Every person's way is different. Every person's style is different. And now when we go in Allah's path, we have to tolerate each one, to keep muhabba amongst each other. And like that we will become better. Ughzu ma'a ghayri qawmik. So what a beautiful report. We learn from the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the family of Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha, meaning the husband of Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha, Abu Ma'bad radiallahu anhu. And there's an amazing report narrated by the son of Abu Ma'bad. His name is Ma'bad. That's why they are called with the appellation or the title Abu Ma'bad and Ummu Ma'bad, because their son was Ma'bad. And this is narrated by Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah with his chain of narrators. This chain reaches the Sahabi Ma'bad radiallahu anhu, Al-Khuza'i. He says, whilst he was in the Salah, بَيْنَمَا هُوَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ إِذْ أَقْبَلَ أَعْمَى يُرِيدُ الصَّلَاةِ. There was a blind individual who wanted to perform Salah, and then he fell. And when he fell, those around started laughing. فَقَهْقَهُ. And they laughed aloud. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Salah, said, مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ قَهْقَهَ فَلْيُعِدْ الْوُضُوءَ وَالصَّلَاةِ. That one or those who have laughed should go back, repeat their wudu and repeat their salah. That's why the fatwa according to the Hanafi madhab is, if one laughs aloud in salah, not only does his salah break, but the wudu also breaks. Allah Ta'ala save us from such disrespect. So we learn akhlaq from this family as well. And how do we bring akhlaq into our lives? Through tolerance. So nonetheless, we also learn from here how Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba radiallahu anhum would describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali radiallahu anhu was so professional in that. Hind radiallahu anhu. Hind, the son of Khadija radiallahu anha. From her former marriage before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this child grew up in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. He describes Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such an amazing manner. But from all these descriptions, Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha's description also stands out. And what's amazing is, she just saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those few moments, and she described him so beautifully, Allahu Akbar, in such an amazing manner, so professionally, Allahu Akbar. Where did she get this from? This was definitely the help of Allah Ta'ala. A woman who we might say, you know, an unlettered individual in the desert, but how she described Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that up till today we need a dictionary to explain. And even so, we can never fulfill the haqq. Like, I have fallen short so much in explaining the description of Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha, of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She lived her life serving Allah Ta'ala's deen, striving in Allah Ta'ala's path, teaching humanity about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's practices and beauty and sunnah. Allahu Akbar. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate the beautiful lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.